Blog Talk Radio.
With your hands lifted up, say, say it like this. Take the limits off.
You were.
Slowly. Something's going on the Blog Talk side. We're not quite sure what it is, but we're gonna get it together as soon as they allow. There went that. As soon as She's been humping on that thing since 7 o'clock. One of the things that I will say this, it is very important for our black men to go and get the prostate exam. I know it's uncomfortable. Lord knows I know it's uncomfortable. But you must go and get it done. Get the PSA test. Get the physical prostate exam. No, they do not have a new way of testing. I've asked, I've begged, I've tried to find out. There is no new way. But we do need to get it done. So, ladies, gentlemen, if your fathers are still living, even young folk, if your mom, if your dad's still living, even your mothers, I think it's necessary, but I'm speaking specifically for the men because I know how we are about going to the doctor. Look, y'all, I only go once a year. I only go once a year. It's an absolute necessity that you go and get a just go and get the examination, man. It's life saving, and I've had the test done since I was 35. My doctor recommended it. The year I turned 35, she said, okay, you need to start having this test done. Not that prostate cancer doesn't run in my family or anything like that, but she was just saying as a preventative measure that it was necessary for black men to go and get this test done. So I don't like it. I'm not a fan of it, but it is a necessary thing. You know, and seriously, if it is going to keep me around, look here, I got to be like these folk over here at the historic Ebenezer, right? I got to be like these folk over here at the birthplace. These folk over here at the birthplace live a long time. So look here, hey, they walking around here 100. You know, they walking around here 100. So if they walking around here 100, I want to walk around 100 too, huh? I want to walk around 100 too, so... You know, I'm trying to be like the folk over here at the historic. So y'all, they living forever and ever over here. So I'm trying to get like them over here at the historic. So I'm gonna keep on. I'm gonna go get my exam, uncomfortable and all. I'm gonna go get my exam every year until the Lord say different, huh? All right. What time is it? It's 7:49. We're gonna have kind of an abbreviated show, and I only say that because we only gonna go as long as we normally would go. I'm gonna do that and all that good stuff. So, but anyway, we are up and running on the Blog Talk side. Thank y'all so much, Blog Talk people. God bless y'all, all the listeners on the Blog Talk side. Sorry about the delay. I know we probably had the people who probably tried to tune in right at 7 o'clock and weren't able to, and they probably went on and did something else. There's nothing you can do about it. But thank you so much. To all those that are listening now via the Blog Talk Radio, those who are listening right now via their phones, the call-ins and all that, we thank y'all so much for your patience. Sometimes we can't be helped, right? But look, we're here, we're live, and we're going to continue on with the show. All right. Hey, real quick, can I ask y'all something? What y'all think about the new BET streaming service that's supposed to be coming? I think it starts this fall. The BET stream. So I saw the commercials. Have y'all seen, like, all of the black movies? Like, all of the black movies are about to be on the BET streaming service. Tyler Perry I believe he's the one behind it, right? Is that right? Tyler Perry is behind the BET streaming service now. And it is, I'm trying to tell y'all, I think it's, look here, I saw previews for movies that I hadn't seen in a long time. And let me say this, kudos to BET for finally doing something that black folk want to watch. I'll say it again. Kudos to BET for finally doing something that black people actually want to watch. But yeah, so this new BET streaming service, I don't know how much it's going to cost. It's probably going to be $9.99. You know how they like to do. But I'm excited about BET and this new streaming service. I think okay, I pushed that clap button 10 minutes ago. But anyway, it's all good. I ain't tripping. It's working. It's all good. Hey, it works. But yeah, I'm excited about that and a good thing. So, oh, real quick, I forgot to tell y'all. Hey, look, if you're in the Chicagoland area, and if you can make your way to 45th Street, 45th and Vincennes, 4501, South Vincennes Avenue, your boy is preaching on Sunday, right? Yeah, got the nod. I'm preaching Sunday. Preaching Sunday, y'all come on out and hang out with your boy. I'm still working on the sermon. Don't ask me. I'm working on it. Y'all know, look here. I'm working on it. But y'all come on out and hang out with us over here at the historic Ebenezer Missionary Baptist Church. And watch this, y'all. I'm gonna go on and tell the secret. They got the air conditioner working. Huh? What? I came in, I saw all the doors closed in the sanctuary. I said, well, why the doors closed? So I went to go take a peek, and I heard some humming that I ain't never heard before. And the air is blowing. Huh? Come through, Jesus. Y'all, look here, because it was so hot up in there on Sunday. Whoa, God. And the Sunday before last. It was so hot up in there. But anyway, y'all, look, y'all come on out, hang out with your boy. We start service at 10:45. Service ends. Look, we are out of here by 12:30. Service starts at 10:45. We normally out of here by 12:30. 12:45 at the latest. Huh? Come on, y'all, come on, hang out with your boy. You can still make it to the next whatever. And y'all come on and do that and bless us over here with your presence. I would love to see y'all over here at the historic Ebenezer Missionary Baptist. I promise you won't be disappointed. We do some praising and some worshiping, and then we do some, and we look here, we give some word up in here now. Let me tell y'all that real quick. You get the word up here in Ebenezer. So come on out and hang with your boy on this Sunday. This Sunday, we start service at 10:45. Service starts at 10:05. Trust me, the choir is marching in at 10:45. We marching in at 10:45. So y'all come on in here and y'all join us as soon, you know, come on in and hang out with your boy for a few minutes. And I greatly appreciate meeting some of y'all and all that good stuff. Congratulations to my brother. Congratulations to my brother Fred Wilson, Pastor Fred Wilson. His book came out. He's going to do that. We're in the process of booking him to come back on the show. Y'all know, y'all remember I had Fred and Marcy on the show. Amazing. They had the amazing book that Marcy wrote, and it's just with some friends and all that. But he's got his book was released today, and man, it's amazing. I'm excited for him. So he's going to be on the show. We're going to rebook him. And look, real quick, I have to say, because I haven't been on. Congrats, look, y'all, I know the feed was a little rough, but I want to say this real quick. Thank you so much, Cook County Board President Tony Preckwinkle, for spending a little bit over an hour and maybe 15 minutes with us. I think she was here for about an hour, maybe an hour and a half, maybe almost. She spent about a good 75, 80 minutes with us on Monday, man. We talked about everything. We talked about the mayoral race. We talked about her as president. We even talked about what she wear, you know, all of that. We had a great, great time with Cook County Board President Tony Preckwinkle. So it's awesome to have her here. The interview was great. You can still hear and see the interview on Facebook Live. You can go to our Facebook page, and you can go to blogtalkradio.com and you can download it. I'm not sure if it loaded yet on iHeart. I haven't seen it, but one of you all can check that. Yeah. Really, Andrew? Really? Really? Okay. Andrew telling me about you just was about the doctor, my doctor visit. So, but yeah, it's one of those things where, you know, it was a great time with President Perkins, and the fact that she said she would be willing to come back. So we definitely want to have her back. And look, and let's just say this: we open the door to any and all you know, our political people who are really trying to do something to change to help change our circumstances. They can't do it alone, and we shouldn't believe that they can. But those who actually have a mindset for the people, you know, we're always looking to have them. We want to get and we'll share this platform with whoever. We'll share this platform with whoever. And then thank you to Angela for securing the interview with Tony Preckwinkle, and to LaTanya for all the stuff you did on the back end, making sure we were up and people could, you know, the stuff was communicated the right way. I mean, it was just an all-around great TTLO team effort. So that's a big kudos to us for that. I have to tip my hat, you know. So this can't say that. And again, yeah, and thank you, Angela. We were her first stop along her media tour for going and announcing that she's running again for Cook County Board President, her fourth term. I believe this is her fourth term. I think she said she's running for a third or fourth term. So it was awesome, man. I did. I really enjoyed it. It was a good time. So look, y'all, look, this is what we're gonna do. It is 7:57. We're gonna take a break. When we come back, we're gonna jump right into today's conversation. Seven signs we are not spiritually hungry. Seven signs we are not spiritually hungry. That's what it is. That's what we're gonna do, y'all. We're gonna be right back. Two T's, one L, one O. Y'all know what it is. TTLO. Peace. Come on, Nasia. Help your boy.
And I know the long way can feel unreal. Wondering when you're gonna get what you think you deserve. If you think that's how it works, my friend, it don't. There are many things you have to learn to do before God can release what he has for you. While you're waiting on your blessings, work on yourself. Here are some things that you gotta learn. You gotta learn how to kneel and pray. You gotta learn to not complain. You gotta learn to ignore the mess. You gotta learn how not to stress. You gotta learn to watch your thoughts. You need to learn to watch your mouth. You gotta change what's in your heart. So you can handle it. Understand, God knows what you want, and he also knows what's in your heart. If he give it to you now, you may crash and burn. You gotta learn how to wait till it's your turn. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all the other stuff will be added in time. I'm only sharing with you what I know, because these are some lessons I have to learn. You gotta learn how to kneel and pray. You gotta learn to not complain. You gotta learn to ignore the mess. You gotta learn how not to stress. You gotta learn to watch your phone. You need to learn to watch your mouth. You gotta change what's in your heart. You can handle it. While you're waiting, doubt will come. Just remember where your help comes from. 'Cause faith without words is dead. You need to go to church so you can be saved. See, trials come to make you strong, but these are the lessons that will help you grow. I'm trying to share with you what I know.
Hang on,
yeah. You gotta learn how to kneel and pray. You gotta learn to not complain. You gotta learn to ignore the mess. You gotta learn how not to stress. You gotta learn to watch your tone. You gotta learn to watch your mouth.
Coming up next, we got Kirk Franklin and LaNasia Tyson. He messed up her name. He said LaNasia. He said LaNasia Tyson. LaNasia. And I said to myself, look here, man, just say it. And look, you'll get it right. You'll get it right. But it's just good to hear. Man. I like a lot of people. When our people do well, I'm going to say that song all the time. I'm going to support my people. She got a bunch of songs. She got the song We Need You. I'll play that if I take another break. I know, I just, that lesson to learn is just the words to the song. The words to the song is why I play it all the time. And I like the beat, you know. But anyway, I just love hearing her stuff on the radio. And Praise Party, you know, Praise Party is the one that's the one. Of course, Praise Party is always good. But anyway, so look, y'all, we got this really good article. As soon as I can get my stuff back up on this other computer over here. Here we go. But yeah, we have this really good article. And it's simply entitled, Seven Signs We Are Not Spiritually Mature. Seven Signs That We Are Not Spiritually Mature. I'm sorry, Seven Signs We're Not Spiritually Hungry. Where did I get mature from? I just made up some words. Seven. y'all pray for these boys. Look, I'm tired. It's been a long day. But seven signs that we are not spiritually hungry. Seven signs that we're not spiritually hungry. Do me a favor, y'all. Hit the share button, those of you on Facebook. And thank God for those of you who are back and who are able to get in on Blog Talk. God bless y'all so much. Thank you so much. But we're going to go through these. Tanya, if you're able to do some copying and some dropping these in for the people. I don't have a watch party going, but I will. Do I have a watch party going? I don't. So don't even worry about doing the watch party. I just have the one feed. So, and then I just realized I'm on the wrong, I started my live on my personal page, but we're going to be all right. It's on the TTLO page, too, so people can see it. If they follow TTLO, they see it. Anyway, let's jump into this. Seven signs we are not spiritually hungry. Seven signs we're not spiritually hungry. This is what the writer says. The writer says, we all hunger for something at all times, whether for position, for influence, for affluence, for possessions, for a relationship, or for righteousness. We are hungry for something. Jesus said that only those who hunger and thirst for righteousness will be filled. But sometimes we are not spiritually hungry. In Jesus' kingdom, the only way to be satisfied is to be hungry for righteousness. Oh, this is good. This is good already. The writer says, I've been reading Thomas Watson's The Puritan Preacher, preacher's work on the Beatitudes, creatively titled The Beatitudes, and have benefited from his insight and encouragement. The writer goes on to say, I found his thoughts on the seven demonstrations of those who are not hungry for righteousness to be personally convicting and challenging. During those moments and seasons in my Christian journey when I have displayed greater hunger for something other than God, one or more of these statements has been true to me. Y'all ready? Here we go. So he says, here are seven signs we are not spiritually hungry. Here are seven signs we are not spiritually hungry. Statements and quotations are directly from Watson's book, though the whole outline is his as well. So here we go. This is what the writer says. He says, number one, we are not spiritually hungry if we have never felt any emptiness. Oh, God, we are not spiritually hungry if we have never felt any emptiness. This is what the writer says. The writer says this. Let me get this in here. Come on, get on the right thing. All right, the writer says this. He says, when we are full of ourselves, we have no hunger for God and his righteousness. Thomas Watson wrote, none so empty of grace as he who thinks he is full. He has most need of righteousness, who least feels the need of it. Wow. I'm going to just let that look in. That's when you need somebody to just write the word Selah. that's what a Selah goes. Can I read that again? He says, Thomas Watson said, none so empty of grace as he who thinks he is full. He has most need of righteousness, who least feels the need of it. Wow. So how can you, if you're always full, and full meaning full of yourself, full of self-righteousness, right? There's a very thin line between confidence and conceit. There is a very thin line being sure of yourself and being arrogant, having assurance and being arrogant. There's a very thin line. There's nothing wrong with being confident. I love confident people. I love my brothers and sisters who are confident, who walk with their heads up, who believe in themselves, who really don't could care less about what other people think about them. When you get to that level in God where you no longer care about how others perceive you, when you're first concerned about how God sees you, when you're first concerned about how God sees you versus how other people see you, now, look here, when you're thirsting after, like this now, when you're thirsting after pleasing God, when you're hungry for him and not for the likes or the hearts, come on now, of other people, then you're moving. I felt that. Huh? When you put yourself in the position that you're thirsting after God, that you're constantly going after him and making sure that he's pleased and that he's satisfied and that he is pleased with your work and your works, instead of constantly trying to please man, then you're doing something. God bless you, Marcus Treadwell. Michael Mitchell, God bless you, sir. Bless you. Thank you for joining us. God bless you. It's one of those things where we got to get to an area in our lives where we start recognizing that sometimes we can be a little too full of ourselves. You know, we think we got it all together, and once we feel that way, we don't feel like we need to involve or talk to God. Y'all don't hear me. I'm gonna keep going. This is good, y'all. Seven signs we're not spiritually hungry. Seven signs we are not spiritual. Feel free to chime in. I can say this now. The call-in number is 323-870-4375. 323-870-4375 is the call-in number. Or if you got a question or comment, feel free to go ahead and drop it in Facebook. We will take those as well. Number two says, we are not spiritually hungry if we think we can do well enough without it. Oh, boy. We are not spiritually hungry if we think we can do well enough without it. This is what the writer says. Watson writes, you shall hear people complain they lack in health, they lack training, but never complain they lack righteousness. But more than we need any of those things, we need Christ and his righteousness. But more than any of these things, but more than we need any of these things, we need Christ and his righteousness. Do we understand what the righteousness of God involves? Do we understand what that is? I know a lot of times, you know, we say stuff and we hear stuff and we'll say amen, but we don't really know what we're saying amen about. Do we know what the righteousness of God is? You know, what that really means, the righteousness of God. The righteousness of God, it's one of the chief attributes of God. Come on, y'all don't hear me. Especially in the Hebrew Bible, it's the chief meaning, it's the main concern, it's the ethical conduct. Leviticus talks about it. Deuteronomy talks about it. Proverbs talks about it. The whole book of Job, the title character is introduced to us as a person who was perfect in righteousness. Come on, y'all don't hear me. So there's something about the righteousness of God, and that's what we ought to be striving for. His righteousness. Woo! Huh? Christ and his righteousness. Not so much ours, but ours in him. Come on. Yeah. I like this. Next week, y'all. Is it next week? Let me check. I just had a thought. That is next week. Next week is August the 2nd. Next week, August the 2nd. I think Zachary Lavender will be in studio with us. Tanya, can you confirm that real quick? I know he's on this live. Zachary, can you give me a thumbs up or something? Is that right? August 2nd? You'll be in studio with us. That's gonna be. Look at y'all. I'm so geeked up about that Praise and Worship Friday, because that's all it is. I think that's this Friday. I think this coming Friday, next week, August the 2nd. I think Zachary will be in studio with Zachary Lavender. Y'all had him on. Y'all know I had him on. He wrote the book, Victim of Circumstance. Amazing, amazing book. Still on there. Still on the charts. And all that. You can get it on Amazon or any of your digital reading mediums, any of those. You can get all of that. But, man, great, great thing. But I think Zachary is going to be with us. If we can get a confirmation on that, Tanya, I think Zachary is going to be with us on August the 2nd, 7 o'clock. We're going to start on time on August the 2nd. I'm assuming, I see thumbs up, but I don't know who they're coming from. It's not showing me the picture. But he'll be in the studio with us then. All right, number three. Let's keep going. Number three, and we're talking about seven signs we are not spiritually hungry. Seven signs we're not spiritually hungry. Number three says this. We are not spiritually hungry if we desire sleep rather than food. Uh-oh. We are not spiritually hungry if we desire sleep rather than food. Watch this. The writer says this. A challenging statement from Watson. He says, some are more drowsy than hungry. It's strange to see a man asleep at his dining table. Oh, that's deep. Oh, bless you. Thank you, Zach. Bless you. Watch this. I'm going to read that again. He says, we are not spiritually hungry if we desire sleep rather than food. And then he says, some are more drowsy than hungry. It's strange to see a man asleep at his dining table. Think about that for a moment. Just picture it just like he said it. It's strange to see a man sleep at his dining table. So when you should be feasting on the word of God, you sleep. When you should be getting your studies in and constantly trying to get and learn more about the Father, you're sleeping. You spend all your energy on mess. You spend all your energy in the world. You spend all your energy doing all these other things and running and jumping and doing all this other stuff. You spend all your energy doing these other things, but yet, you don't spend the same amount of time in the word of God. Isn't that something? That is a powerful statement, challenging statement. He says, some are more drowsy than hungry, and it's strange to see a man asleep at his dining table. How many of y'all are sleeping on God right now? Woo! Huh? How many of you all are sleeping on what God has for you right now? How many of you all are instead of being in the Word of God, are resting on what you believe you've accomplished? You're sleeping and dreaming instead of doing. Oh, God. Look here. Joseph had a dream, too. But then Joseph did some stuff. Huh? Come on. Come on now. You can't just sleep and expect God to just watch this. God can do it, but he won't do it. You can't just sleep, oh, I'm going to sleep and I'm going to dream about having this and I'm going to dream about starting this business. I'm going to dream about starting this ministry. I'm going to dream about doing this. I'm going to dream about writing a book. I'm going to dream about starting a radio show. I'm going to dream about doing and then just think that it's just going to be a metamorphosis. It's just going to pop up. I dream a genie. Just blink and it's just going to pop up. Bewitched. That's what's gonna happen? No. If you're hungry, get up and eat. If you're really hungry, and for those of us who say we're really thirsting after God, okay. For those of us who really say we're thirsting after him, why do we spend so much time away from him? If you really watch this, if you really love something or someone, you stay in contact. Oh God. Uh-oh. If you really love something or someone, you stay in contact. If you're in a relationship, that person you're in a relationship with, they're going to get some text messages from you. They're going to get some phone calls from you. They may even get a visit from you, right? That's what you do when you love something or someone. But we can go a week without talking to God. We only deal with God on Sundays. We say, well, let me go on to the church house and put my 2 hours in. Let me go on and put my 2 hours in at the church house. Or if you're at church all day, you think you done did something because you... So what? You get to Sunday school at 9 o'clock and you leave after service is over. But is that the only day you talk to God? You go hungry the rest of the week. Yeah, exactly. Exactly, Zachary. You're right. Zachary says, I believe sleep is a metaphor for out of focus, lack of interest, or no concern. Yes. 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 Absolutely. Absolutely. When you're interested, you text. When you're interested, you call. When you're interested, you show up. When you're interested, you make it known that you're interested. You don't just wait until Sunday comes. Huh? Come on now. You don't just wait till Sunday comes. You talk to the Lord all day. Not, you know, every day. I don't expect you to talk to him all day, but talk to him every day. Ought to be some kind of communication with watch this. There ought to be some kind of communication with the person that you claim you love. Come through now, Jesus. Huh? He says, we desire sleep rather than food. That's good, Zach. That's good. Out of focus, lack of interest. Yes. Anita Cross says this. She says, we equate the preference of sleep over food as a sign of illness. We are all in need of the doctor to restore us to health spiritually and physically. Amen. All right, Anita Cross. All right, I see you. All right, still praying for your brother too. Still praying for your brother's recovery. You and Sister Butts. I know your brother had surgery. We're still praying for his recovery. Bless you. Let's keep going, y'all. Let's keep going. Number four. We're talking about seven signs that we are not spiritually hungry. Seven signs that we are not spiritually hungry. Number four, the writer says this. We are not spiritually hungry if we refuse the food. Uh-oh. Come on now. We are not spiritually hungry if we refuse the food. Watch this. Christ and his grace are offered, nay, pressed upon them. But they put away salvation from them as the forward child puts away the meal. Christ, the only meal that quenches, continually offers himself to us, and we often refuse the best meal. Oh, that'll preach. We often refuse the best meal. Oh, my goodness. Oh, that's good. That's real good, y'all. We often refuse the best meal. How many times do we come to church and say, "Well, I just didn't get fed today. I just didn't get fed today." Oh no, you got fed. You look here. The table was spread. You refused to eat. You didn't like what was served, huh? But you could have ate though. You know. Before we went crazy, before the world went crazy, your parents cooked one meal, and either you ate or you didn't. It was one meal. They wasn't cooking. Look here, they wasn't cooking. They wasn't cooking something extra over here, and they wasn't fixing three different dinners. Come on, Jesus. They wasn't fixing three. They fixed. They served what they served. And you ate of it what you could. Now watch this. Can I set this table? Oh God. So you come to somebody's house, right? And you may be one of these. You watch this. You may be one of these people who don't eat meat. You know, y'all know how I feel about vegetarians. There's something wrong with them. Dr. Thomas, they need counseling. But these people who don't eat meat, right? But you cook all this other food. So you cook some vegetables. You have this stuff. So there are options for them, right? They can't say, I couldn't eat anything. Same thing on Sunday. The preacher preaches. Bible study. The teacher teaches. Sunday school. The teacher teaches. The food is being served. Now, some of it, watch this, you may have had before and you might not need. But some of it you do need, you just don't like the taste. Oh, God, come on now. Watch this. Anybody just like eating spinach? You might not like the taste, but it's good for you. Oh, help me today, Holy Ghost. Look here. You might not like the taste, but it's good for you. I remember my mom used to just make spinach. I ain't talking about greens. You know, you put spinach in greens. She used to just make spinach. And I would not eat. I didn't want no parts of spinach. And it would sit on my plate. I would eat the corn. I would eat the mixed vegetables. I would eat everything else, but that spinach would sit on that plate. And watch this. It wasn't until, come on now, it wasn't until, I think I was about 6 or 7 years old, and, you know, I was watching cartoons, and I saw Popeye. And Popeye always had his spinach. And when Popeye ate his spinach, it made him strong. So my mama, smart as she is, she goes, "You see Popeye, don't you? You see what Popeye do when he eat his spinach." So, you know, I don't know no better. I fell for it. She put the spinach on my plate, and I ate it up. And I'm sitting at the table, holding my muscle up, talking about, "Do you see it growing? Do you see it growing while I'm eating it?" Right? I'm sitting there. Here is the deal. It's not going to always taste good, but it is good. Huh? It ain't gonna always taste good, but it is good. Now I know the scripture does say, "Oh, taste and see," that the Lord is good. Look, it is good for you though. It's just like certain medications. Come on now. It's just like certain medications. Certain medications taste horrible. Even pills. Y'all ever had to take some pills, certain pills before, and that pill hits your tongue, and it's like the nastiest, like even with vitamins. Even with vitamins, you ever take vitamins in the morning? Some of those vitamins, like I take what's the vitamin from GNC? Mega Man, right? I take one of those every morning, right? But that thing, I try to throw it in the back of my throat, because if it gets in you, if you actually taste it, and first of all, when you open the bottle, it smells. So you know you're thinking like, "Why am I going to take this?" But it's good for me, so I take it. Because I recognize that I can get past this 30 seconds of displeasure because I like what it does for me. What does that mean? Bring it back home to the church. I can get past being offended because the preacher is preaching about something that's personal to me. I can get past being offended because I know in the long run it's good for me. Help me. Watch this. Can I take it a step further? That's just like your real friends tell you when something ain't right. If you outside looking like a clown in a clown suit, your real friends will tell you, "You know, you shouldn't. Other folk will let you go out and say and tell you something is cute that ain't. Huh? And watch this. I can get over being offended because I know you ain't gonna let me go out there looking crazy. Come on now. I can get over being offended. So watch this. What you said wasn't good to me, but it was good for me. Woo! Hey, God. Glory. Hey, God. I felt that. It ain't going to always be that way. What am I? It's not going to always be that way. Come on. Let's go. Number five. What time is it? 8:24. We rolling. 8:24. The writer says this. Number five. We're talking about seven signs that we're not spiritually hungry. Let me read what Zachary said. Zachary said, "My mama had 10 crumb snatchers, and she did not fix 10 different meals. Whatever she prepared, you ate or you did not eat. In other words, it was your choice to eat or not. What you gonna do?" Exactly. Let me come here. Watch this. Even animals, even the basic instinct of animals. I remember, I'll share this with you. Thank you, Zachary, for that, because you just reminded me of something. I remember my mom had a cat. My mom had this cat named Sapporo, right? It was this male cat. She found him as a kitten out by the. She felt sorry for him. She was taking the garbage out one day, and he was a little kitten. He was a little bitty old thing. She felt sorry for him, so she went in the house and got some milk and put the milk outside and fed him. That's the first mistake, because instead of him drinking the milk, he followed her up the stairs. So she felt bad. She went and took him to the vet, got his shot, and then she brought him on in the crib. He turned out to be the biggest cat in the world. The cat was part lion or something. Because the cat, y'all think I'm exaggerating, the cat was tall. He was big. He was like real big. Anyway, the cat had a real, what's the word they use, finicky. The cat was real picky about what he ate. So she was buying all this expensive. He wouldn't eat 9 lives. Right? He would eat 9 lives. The cat only wanted fancy beef. She tried all these cat foods, and he only wanted fancy feasts. Well, if you know anything about cat food, a 9 lives 10 looks like the size of a can of corn, you know, in the circumference, right? But fancy feast is about the size of a 50-cent piece or a dollar coin. But it costs more money because it's supposed to be a better quality of food, right? So she spent all as much as she was like, this cat. She asked the vet, and the vet was like, if you put some of that, so she would buy the dry cat food, and he would literally take his paw and knock the dry cat food over and not eat it until she put some fancy feast on the thing. The vet told her, don't put no more of the fancy feast down there. He said, you pour that dry cat food down there and you leave it. You leave it. So she set the stuff down there and she waited and she waited. And in his normal time to eat, he went in there and he looked. He didn't like it. He walked away from it. Came back in, looked again. He walked up to her. She didn't pay him no attention. You know, about 20 minutes later, she heard some crunching. What he was doing. He was hungry, and he ate what was available. Come on now. He ate what was being served. Come on now. We got to stop refusing the food. Watch this. Sometimes you got to eat the food even when you don't like to cook. Uh-oh. That'll preach right there. Somebody save that. Don't y'all steal it. That ought to be somebody's status right there. Sometimes you got to eat the food even when you don't like to cook. Ah, my. Ah, woo, Jesus. Come on now. Number five. Let's go. My God. That just did something for me. Number five. The writer says this. He says, we are not spiritually hungry. We are not spiritually hungry if we delight more in the garnish of the dish than the food. Oh, God. Here we go. We are not spiritually hungry if we delight more in the garnish of the dish than the food. He says this. He says, if a man were invited to a feast and there being music at the feast, he should so listen to the music that he did not mind his food. You would say, surely, he is not hungry. Let me read that again. If a man were invited to a feast and there being music at the feast, he should so listen to the music that he did not mind his food. You would say, surely he is not hungry. Exactly. What does that mean? So you talk about garnish, right? We're talking about spirit. We're talking about garnish. Come on now. Come on, Zachary. That's right. If you're hungry, you'll eat. We're talking about garnish. You know, the garnish on the plate is like they put something over a bed of lettuce. Or they'll put some, what's that stuff called? What's that green garnish that we put on plates? What is it called? You really don't even eat it. What is it called? Y'all help me out. Now I should know what this is too. What's the green garnish that they put on the plate? Come on now, where my cook's at? Somebody help me out. What is the green garnish that they put on the plate when you, what is it called? I can't think of it to save my life. See, look, if y'all gonna make me goop, Tanya, could you look it up? I can't be pushing the goop. No, not cilantro. We eat cilantro. Cilantro goes on the taco. Now, look here. You know I'm black again. Don't say cilantro, Marissa Williams. I eat cilantro. It's not cilantro. What's the other? It goes on the plate, and we really don't do nothing with it. It's just a garnish. What is it? Y'all ain't gonna help me. Parsley. Thank you. Parsley. We don't really eat the parsley. It just sits there, right? So who would watch this? So I'm gonna bring you all this wonderful dish, and you get caught up in the garnish. You get caught up in look how pretty it is, right? Let me help you. That's like coming to church, and you come to church because the choir is banging. You come to church because the praise team is singing. And so you all caught up in the music, and then when it comes time for the word, you only come for the choir. I only come to church for the choir. I don't care for reverence preaching. I come for the choir. Really? Or you one of those people who come to the church and say, well, the choir didn't sing my song, so I just didn't get fed today. Why did it get fed? Because the choir didn't sing my song. So you telling me you went and spent 2 good hours in somebody's church house, and you saying you didn't get fed because the choir or the praise and worship group didn't sing your song. You didn't like the song they sung, so that took you out of worship for the whole service. That's being focused on the garnish and not the main food. That's being focused on the garnish and not the main food. Y'all know what's on the Big Mac? Could you imagine two all beef patties? That's how it starts. Let me help you. That's how it starts, right? Two all beef patties. Then it says special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions, all on a sesame seed bun. Could you imagine if you went to McDonald's and got told the people, can I get a Big Mac? And when you got home, you opened it up and all you had was special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun. The two all beef patty, the actual part that was supposed to give you some protein, the actual part that you needed was missing. You don't hear me. Come to church and get no meat. My. Help us today. Help us today. We get more delight out of the garnish of the dish, the side stuff. Okay. I saw that. I'm not sure who put that. Jason, did you do that? Or Tanya, who put that in the Facebook? Thank you for sharing that with the Blog Talk, people. Thank y'all. So, oh, that's the banner. Okay, yeah. Thank you for sharing that with the people. Jayla. Okay, that's Jayla. Thank you, Jayla. Appreciate you. Thank you. Put it in the. All right, let's keep going, y'all. Number six. Y'all ready? Number six says, we are not spiritually hungry if we prefer other things over it. We are not spiritually hungry if we prefer other things over it. Uh-oh. This is what the writer says. The writer says this. He says, if a boy, when should be at dinner, is playing in the street, it is a sign that he has no appetite for his food. Were he hungry, he would not prefer play before his food. Our lives often reveal that we hunger for other things more than we hunger for God. Anytime we hunger for something other than God, we simultaneously hunger for something less than God. Oh, my Jesus. Oh, that's good. My. That's good right there, y'all. That's good right there. He says, anytime we hunger for something other than God, we simultaneously, come on now, hunger for something less than God. Oh, that's gonna bless somebody. Y'all need to get that. That's gonna bless somebody right there. When you prefer to do other things other than worship. Oh, you know, I don't want to come to Bible study because, you know, I got to watch Dancing with the Stars on Wednesday. I don't want to come to Bible study because, you know, I don't want to miss, what's the show? Grey's Anatomy. Well, I can't go to church on Sunday, man. Football season started. I can't go to church. Football season started. Oh, I got a new boo. And my boo wants to take me out for lunch, and I can't be at church. And my boo want to take me out. We put everything before God. When you're not spiritually hungry, we start to have a preference of things other than God. And I like what the writer says. We simultaneously start hungering for something less than God. So you want to go and be a part of something less than God. My. Come on, Zachary. Come on. You talk. Look, it helped me too. Watch this. I'm tired. I had a long day. So I think I'm gonna take this day of worship. I'm gonna take this day of worship and I'm not and I'm not gonna uh I'm gonna take this day of worship and rest. So you prefer your rest over God. You could let one of the other things go. You can't let one of the other things go that had all of your attention. My. We find that's powerful. We simultaneously hunger for something less than God. That's good. That's awesome. I'm gonna have to get this book by this writer. This book, man. This is good. This is good. All right, number 7, y'all. Last one. To be out of here. Last one. I know, Anita Cross said, "Ouch." I know. This thing just blessed me. My God. Woo. And watch this. We're all guilty of it. We've all said, "I don't feel like doing that." Oh, I didn't study the word today because I was too busy doing this. But how many text messages did you send to different people in that time? How many useless conversations were you having via text when you could have been spending that same time getting you some Bible verses? How many useless conversations did you have on the phone, physically, live talking to people on the phone when you could have been spending that time talking to God? How much time did you spend watching? Watch this. We all got DVR for those of us who have cable at home. Watch this. Even if you ain't got cable, you watching stuff on your Fire Stick. If you watch it on the Fire Stick, that means you can pause the TV. Come on now. That means you can pause. That means you have the capability of pausing the TV. That means you can spend a few minutes. Come on now. That means the time you spend watching TV, the time you spend watching TV, you could have paused that television show. Y'all don't hear me. You could have paused that television show and spent that time in prayer. Come on. I'll read it again. Anytime we hunger for something other than God, we simultaneously hunger for something less than God. Jesus. Wow. Ouch is right. Wow. My good Lord. All right, number 7, last one. The writer says this. He says, we are not spiritually hungry if we are more for religious disputes than practice of holiness. Let me read that again. We are not spiritually hungry if we are more for religious disputes than the practice of holiness. Come on now. The writer says this. He says, Watson's caution is especially applicable for church leaders. Some men feed only on difficult questions and controversies. These pick bones and do not feed on meat. They have hot brains and cold hearts. But such as ravel out of their time in frothy and useless theological disputes, they do not hunger and thirst after righteousness. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Woo! Can I say that again? He says, you are not spiritually hungry if we are more for religious disputes than the practice of holiness. He says, you pick bones and you don't feed on meat. You would rather pick bones than feed on meat. He says, they have hot brains and cold hearts. You would rather spend your time in useless theological disputes. They do not hunger or thirst after righteousness. You know what? And I found this to be true. That's why I got out of a lot of. I used to be in a whole lot of Facebook groups, right? And I'm still in some, but I just ignore them at some point. But I used to be in all these groups where they were having these theological, you know, discussions, and I think I got into groups because I wanted to share my knowledge and show, you know, and sometimes you know it's kind of an ego thing. You want to let people know what you know, you know. But what I found is I would get into these debates, and Tanya can remember this. I would be at my former place of employment, and somebody would put a post up. And I promise you, I would see that post at 11 o'clock. It could be 3:30, 4 o'clock. I'm still in the post. I'm still writing comments. I'm still trying to get my point across. I'm still trying to make you understand what the word says, not what you said. I'm having this 4.5-hour theological dispute that at the end of the day ain't worth a hill of beans. I ain't saved nobody's soul. I ain't spent no time talking to the Lord. I'm up here just trying to prove my point of my knowledge to you. Useless. Useless. I used to spend so, I would be up at night because people would read the status later on, and then they would get, and then they would start commenting, and then I would see their comments, and now it's 2 o'clock in the morning, and here I am still typing. Because I'm more about religious disputes than I am about holiness. I mean, at what point do we stop all these stupid conversations that have no weight, that carry no bearing, and they do nothing for nobody? You're just sitting there and you're sharing what? We're sharing our knowledge. That's what the Pharisees did. Who thought that? And again, it does nothing. Is anybody being saved? Is anybody sold? Is anybody being blessed with your conversation? Is anybody being blessed with your conversation, or is it just you? Is it just you? My God, woo! That thing just helped me. That thing just helped me. Because I used to spend so much time. People who know me, they know me. I used to spend so much time. And I'll be like, what, why would you even think it was okay to post that? And then you spend time, hours out of your day trying to convince somebody that they shouldn't have posted something. For what? Nothing got accomplished. Nothing got accomplished. All you did was win an argument. You ain't saved not one soul. All you did was win an argument. Come on now. Jesus. Ooh, my. So, man, this is good. The writer says this. He says this article about people who are not, he says this, hopefully this article blessed you. This was good. This was good. The writer, all of this information actually came from this book called titled The Beatitudes by Thomas Watson. The Beatitudes by Thomas Watson. That's good, man. I'm gonna have to look that up because that might be worth me reading. I said I wasn't gonna read anything else. I was so tired of reading after my school adventure that I didn't, you know, after dealing with reading all these books for school, I was over it. But this might be something I might want to take some time and read this. I've been looking for something new to read anyway, and this might be it. Let me look up the book and see if it's available. Let's hope, y'all, that it's available on the Kindle. Let's hope it's available down to the Kindle, huh? Let's hope it's available on the Kindle. The seventh point was on point. Come on, Zach. Come on. Oh, the Beatitude. Let's see. The Beatitude. Is this it by Thomas Watson? It's $5.78 on Amazon. $5.70. Is that right? The Beatitude by Thomas Watson. It's 99 cents on the Kindle. Look at God. What? Let me see this. Is that right? 99 cents on the Kindle? Man, come through here. What? let's see. You have got to read Glory When Heaven Invades the Earth. Bob Sorkin. Really? Come on, Zach. Now, you know, last time you read a book, man, I almost went in. Let me check it out. What is it? The glory. The glory when heaven and earth invade Bob Storky. Let me look at that. Bring all the book recommendations with you next week. Because I'm gonna be ready. I know I gotta be ready for you. So bring all the book. Oh, there it is, right there. When heaven invades the earth. Let me click that. Bob Storky. $9 on the candy. Ordered. Oh, it says read with our free app. What? Oh, this is part of Prime Book. I can read this for free. $3.99. Look out. This is in the Prime Book box. Come on now. Yes, sir. I'm gonna get. Maybe I'll start reading that later on. I need to read something because I need to. I just need that. That's good though. Thank you, Zach, for that recommendation, man. That's good stuff, man. Look, y'all. Hey, look. This has been awesome. Once again, real quick, if you're able to come out and join me, on Sunday, I'm preaching Sunday. I'm preaching this Sunday here at the Historic Ebenezer. Dr. Thomas, y'all come on out, hang out with your boy. Dr. Johnson, you come out. Any of y'all come on out. Thank you so much. Zach, your sister came out on Father's Day, man. She surprised me. Denise came out, man, surprised me for Father's Day. And look here, man, it was all right, though. But thank you for coming out. Y'all come on out and hang with your boy on this Sunday. I'm preaching this Sunday here at the Historic Ebenezer Missionary Baptist Church, the birthplace of gospel music. Y'all come on out and hang with me. Zach, you should come on over, man, and give me a song or something. Look at me, I'm just asking for 2 bucks. You should come on over, though, man, and sing. Y'all know what? Watch this. I know Zach is going to be mad. I'm going to ask him on Friday. I know he's going to do it. But Zach used to sing this hymn. He used to sing this hymn at King. We used to sing this hymn, right? And the hymn was Wounded for Me. I did not even like songs. But I would, look here, that song would make you feel some kind of way. It was a song. Wounded for Me. That's all I got. But the song said, He was wounded for me. Huh? That song used to do something to me. That's a powerful song. It really is. Now look here. But you should come on through, Zach. I know they need you over at the Lifeline. I know they need you over at the Lifeline, Zach. But you know we are right around the corner here at the Ebenezer. You could come on through. You could come on through and hang out with your boy. Any of y'all that's watching on live, if you're in Chicagoland area, come out and join me this Sunday. 4501 South Vincent. I'll be bringing the word and praying that God gives me something mighty for his people on Sunday. Y'all pray with me and pray as we get out here. Father God, we just thank you right now, God, for what you allow us today. God, we thank you for allowing our service on the Block Talk side to be restored, even if it's only been for a little while. Lord God, we thank you for allowing that on today. God, we just thank you, God, for being who you are. God, you are an awesome, awesome God, and we know that there is nothing that we could do. There was nothing that we could do, God, if it was not, if you were not involved, God. So we just thank you right now, God, for just being who you are and in our lives, God. We just ask right now, God, that you would continue to bless every listener on Blog Talk Radio that listens to this show, God. We ask that you would continue to bless every viewer on Facebook right now, God. Even those who are watching on the replay, God, we're asking that you would bless their households, God. Bless them in their comings and in their goings, God. Bless every step that they feel where their feet should trod, God. We would ask that you would just continue to bless them, God. Bless all of those who are part of this great organization, GTLO Media, God. We ask that you would bless them, God, and continue to keep them. And, God, continue to elevate them and only to where you can take them, God. We only want to go, God, where you lead us, God. So continue to do what you do here for this particular platform that you have given us, God. Continue to bless us, God. We just thank you all over this place, God. We say thank you and amen in Jesus' name. Hey, y'all, I got to go.
Let the church.
It's been an amazing, amazing show.
Say
with all of the
amen.
We still said thank you for that, God. But we got to go. Y'all stay blessed, man. And
let
if you got
church.
To drive through this special, special city, we call
amen.
Chicago. Do me a favor, my brothers and sisters.
If you believe the word.
On a swivel.